Hey, everybody. How are you? Did you enjoy this fabulous weather? Oh, we've been waiting for months. You guys don't sound very excited at all, quite frankly. Goodness gracious, it's great out there. Look at what God has given us this weekend. I hope you've been able to enjoy it. Hope you are having a good start to your new week, which began this morning. Microsoft might say that your calendar begins on Monday, but God says it begins on Sunday, and since He made the rules, there you go. All right, so we are in this teaching series called First, and we are looking at what does it mean to be first place in life, first place in the body of Christ, and what we're coming to realize is that God has given each one of us gifts, different gifts, a multitude of gifts, and the way we have and live a first place kind of life is by using those gifts not only in the church, which we call the body of Christ, but also for the transformation of the world. And everybody here, man, woman, child, regardless of what age, stage, whatever of life that you are in, everybody has gifts. And God wants to use every single one of us, not only for the building up of His church, but also for the transformation of the world. So we're going to pick this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 12 through 20 today. Let's do that with some chutzpah. Here we go. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Awesome. I want to encourage you this morning to follow along. You can use your Revolution app to do so. There's a teaching notes icon if you want our app. You can find that through our website or on the app store. And so we're talking about what is it to be first, to realize our gifts, to use those gifts in the body of Christ, the church, and also in the world around us. And as we do that, let's take another test this morning. I know that excites you, especially after the test last week, of which I've been challenged upon its logic repeatedly. I assure you it's the right answer, so this morning will be a little easier. Let's talk about this. Your boss gives you a bunch of projects. Would you A, list the steps in order of importance or the tasks in order of importance and work on them one by one until completed? Or would you B, jump from project to project until you finish? Think about that for a moment. Got it? All right. You get a new gadget from a buddy but have no idea how it works. Would you A, read through the manual first, or B, start using it first? We got it? All right. It's time to buy a new car. Do you A, research the car and then try to find the right price to pay, or do you B, sit in the car, get a feel for it, drive it, and then decide if it's right? How many people were all A answers? All A. How many people were all B answers? How many people were a little bit of both? How many people didn't want to play? Don't raise your hand, it's church. No. Now, here's the deal. If you had all A answers, you're likely more of a left-brain person, more logical, language, process-oriented kind of a person. If you were more of a B answer person, you're likely more right-brain, more creative, more spatial, more expressive, these kinds of things. Now, of course, you've only gotten three questions, and there's probably a 50-question test that you can look at. There's also all kinds of new studies in which doctors say or scientists say, look, we're both brained. Well, of course, we're both brained, but there are going to be some definite sides that we're going to use more often than others and some different traits that we're going to express. What I think is interesting about this is we spend so much time educating to the A set versus the B set? What are typically the first programs to go when a school's in trouble? Art, music, creative writing, right? I mean, like, kids now get what? How much PE? Yeah, not a whole lot of PE going on. So, I mean, all of these different sorts of things, we tend to focus more on the logic, process-oriented kinds of skills. Now, what's interesting is, culturally speaking, Silicon Valley and all the big Fortune 500, Fortune 250 folks, they're actually encouraging, there's some programs out there now where students who are in college that are more right brain, creative, what have you, they're being encouraged to leave college, get a grant, go invent new products, services, what have you, and start their own companies. So that way the right brain doesn't get trained out of them. Now, the irony to this is, more often than not, once they start the company and build the product and what have you, they hire left-brained people to help them run the business, because you got to have both. You got to have both. And that's the point. That's the point. We need both right and left-brained people. We need people from diverse backgrounds with diverse gifts, because all of us play an important role in the body of Christ. Now, what if you didn't want to play? What if you didn't want to take the test? Well, it could be that you're more type A left-brain person, because you logically deduce this has no impact upon your future. Or it could be that you're more right-brained, hence answer B, because you decided in one of your creative spats that you were going to be a nonconformist. I don't know. You'll have to figure that out for yourself. But the point, again, is we need both. We need both. And there's lots of famous, great people who are both. We think about some of the left-brain thinkers, great leaders like Condoleezza Rice or Jack Welch or George Washington Carver, or Stephen Hawking, very much left-brain, process-oriented, logical types of folks. Right-brain thinkers, Einstein, Picasso, the great designer Vera Wang, Bill Gates, lots of great right-brain thinkers. We need all these folks. In some way, they've lent things to each one of us. I mean, can you imagine a world of only creative types? All the right brain people are saying, yay! And can you imagine a world of only analysts? No. Yes, you'd see all the right brain people are going, no, it's scary. All the left brain people are going, yay, that's really what we want. You need both. You need both. You need analysts and artists. You need head and heart people. It takes both. It takes both. Both are very much necessary. Both play a first place role in the body of Christ. I mean, what we might say is that doctors need artists and artists need doctors. And every single one of us play an important, significant first place role in the body of Christ. Not only this gathering that's here today, but the larger church, and even more beyond the larger church, the church that moves out for the transformation of the world. Now, when Paul talks about body, the body, in 1 Corinthians chapter, or actually throughout the whole book, throughout the book of 1 Corinthians, he doesn't, you know, right, left brain stuff doesn't exist in Paul's world. Everybody gets that, right? But what he did understand is that our minds and our bodies are all used differently. What he did understand is that our minds and our bodies can be either used to please God and glorify God, or to please ourselves. And in fact, you see this, 47 times the word body appears in 1 Corinthians. And it really happens in two movements. In the first movement, Paul is talking about the misuse of the body. The misuse of our bodies, our minds, our heart, our will, our freedom, what have you, being misused. And Paul talks about everything from, you know, sexual immorality to fighting amongst one another. You pick it. I mean, it's like a whole laundry list of topics. And he essentially says, guys, you're not using your bodies. You're not using your mind. You're not using the gifts that God has given you. You're not using the grace that God has provided you to honor him and to build up the church. But in the second movement of the use of this word body, he offers us a proper use. of the body. And what he says is essentially this, that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, so when we talk about going to church, I want you to realize this is just a building. Does God live here? I don't think so. I think God shows up. Where does God really dwell? God dwells in each one of us. Your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Have you said yes to Christ? That's overwhelming for a church. I am completely underwhelmed. This would be my role in the body right now to say, wake up! I mean, if you belong to Christ, then you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit comes and lives in you. And he gives you gifts, and he says, choose that path and not that path. Help that person. That's the role of the body. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. And to honor God is to listen to the Spirit, to receive our gifts, to use our bodies rightly, our mind, our heart, what have you, to his glory and his purposes. And we gain a sense of our identity, not just from Jesus, you know, Jesus tells us who we are, but we also gain our sense of identity by being part of this larger body. This past week in our renovation groups, one of the exercises, our small groups that meet in people's homes, if you're new here today, we meet every week, people's homes. One of the questions was, can you identify the spiritual gifts in the people you're sitting with this morning or this evening or whenever you meet? Why? Because hearing what those gifts are from your brother or sister, what do? They build you up, don't they? Hey, you got some gifts. Those gifts are important. I need those gifts. Those gifts bless me. Those gifts bless other people. I want to build up the body. I want to build up the church. I want to build you up. Paul says this, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Each part of the body is important. I mean, you don't have a body that's all hands. That'd be kind of creepy, right? How's that work? Different purposes, different parts, different gifts, different purposes, different, what? It's all important. Every single part of the body is important. Every single part is a first place kind of a part. Can you imagine an eyeball rolling down the street? Everybody's like, all right, now we see why he's so weird. Yeah, I mean, can you imagine an eyeball rolling down the street? How's that eyeball going to really know where it's going without a brain to begin to process the images? There's no skull to, like, hold it together, so it just kind of rolls everywhere. I don't know. There's no eyebrow or eyelash to protect it. It's kind of creepy. You need all the different parts. I mean, can you imagine just being a chin? That's what I think I am. I'm a chin. No idea what it does. Takes it on the chin sometimes. No, I mean, everything's a chin. How's that going to work out? The point is, we're all a little bit different, but God has blessed us all in different ways, and we very much need one another. Nobody can say to the other person, you know what, I don't need you. Your role just isn't important. One time I heard a neurosurgeon and a cardiothoracic surgeon fighting it out about what was more important, the heart or the brain. And it's like, you clowns, you need them both. How are you going to get blood to the brain without the heart? How are you going to tell the heart to pump without the brain? Anybody who's a doctor right now is like debating it, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
All the left brain people this morning are running, okay, what about the appendix? Well, some people would say that the appendix is completely unnecessary. There are actually a whole lot of studies out there from the medical community that would say that the appendix in a nasty case of gastroenteritis repopulates your gut with healthy bacteria. Who knew?
The appendix is important, yes?
Yeah. I mean, look at what the scripture says. It says, for we were, at least you're alive now, for we were all baptized by one spirit, the spirit that comes and lives in the temple, the body, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Look, here it is, brothers and sisters. The point is simple. Each one of us are different, but each one of us are very much needed. Nobody can say to the other, I don't need you. Because everybody's gifts, everybody plays a first place role in the body of Christ. I mean, I want you to realize that the people who are here with you this morning, they're your brother and they're your sister. Did you come from a different place? Do you have a different family of origin? Yep. Do you look a little bit different? Yep. But they're your brother. They're your sister. You need them just as much as they need you. So this morning, find somebody new and meet them because they're your brother or they're your sister and you need them and they need you. Ready? Go. Jesus, this morning, we give you our hearts. We ask that as one body, you would unite us together and that this would happen by means of the one Spirit that gives us new life and gifts and grace for the building up of the body of Christ. And so, Lord, may we realize today that the person on our left and on our right is our brother or our sister, and that we need them because you've given them something that will bless and change our lives, and they need us. They need us because you've given us something that will help bring about change in their lives. And so, Lord, today, open us up to your guidance, to your grace, and to being used not only for the transformation of this body, but for the whole world. We pray this in and through the mighty name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. Please have a seat. You know, I think one of the big takeaways from our scripture today is the power that comes in belonging. One of the big reasons I wanted you to connect with one another and meet somebody new and realize that this person is your brother or sister is you belong to something. I mean, even if you're a guest here for the first time, you're belonging to something in this moment. This moment, God is doing something. Maybe it's something that you hear. Maybe it's something that you say. Maybe it's something that somebody said to you. Maybe it's a handshake or a smile or a moment in which God speaks to you. You belong to something right here, right now. And that's so countercultural. Because what culture says is be a ruggedly individual sort of person. Right? Carve your own way. Be your own man or woman. You don't need anybody else. Do it on your own. People get in the way. If they do, knock them over. I mean, that's culture. Ruggedly, ruggedly individualistic. And yet the reality is we're communal creatures. I want you to think about for just a moment, what's one of your best, most favorite moments of all time? Now, who was there with you? You get it? I mean, so many of our best moments in life happen with other people. Whether it's sitting around with your buddies telling stories or lies or whatever you want to call them. You know, like I caught a fish once and really it was like that big. But you're like, oh man, it was huge. Or being with your girlfriends and, I don't know, helping us men figure out what the, I'm going to get lost here. Helping us resolve the mystery of the couch in the women's bathroom. It's like this sacred temple. I don't know. But I mean, we... What did you learn today? The best moments in life always happen with other people. You know? I mean, I can think about all of the crazy adventures I had with my golf team buddies, or the beautiful adventures that I've had with Mandy. You know, I can think about going on retreat with the guys I got ordained with, whether it was to Israel or even to Panera we met this past week. You know, sharing one another's burdens and listening to one another's stories. And we need one another. You can't, life was never meant to be done on your own. That's why we push you so hard here to invite. Because if you need to belong to something and you've realized the power in belonging to something, who else needs that? We push you to invite not only because people need a relationship with Christ and it's that relationship that gives us identity and form and meaning and purpose, but also people have a meaning and purpose and identity and ability to bless us, people who aren't here this morning. That's what we want, why we want you to invite. That's why we push you to be a part of a renovation group, a small group once a week. It amazes me how many great things happen in those groups. Now I'm finding that the church is shifting, and it was a little hard for me to be honest with you at first. But now, it used to be that when people get sick, they're calling me. Now people get sick, I don't know, for 2 weeks because they talk to their renovation group. And that renovation group supports them, and you do life together, and you find encouragement, and you're blessed in some way by being a part of that group. Incredible. I mean, that's the body of Christ. That's the church at its best. Left and right brain people, hands and feet and chins, or eyeballs that roll down the street, or whatever. We're all part of the greater whole, and there's room for everybody. And we enter into that unity through our baptism, whether as a little baby or later in life. We enter into that. Right or left brain, thinker or doer, artist or analyst, head or heart, it's all God. God uses every single one of us. That's what makes us first. Not that we have a better gift or play a better role or have a better job or from a better zip code or have a better education or whatever. It's that God has uniquely, beautifully, wonderfully, gracefully gifted each one of us here. And we find our first when we become that which God created us to be. I mean, the greatest lie of the church is that you can do Lone Ranger Christianity. It's just me. Well, if you notice, Lone Ranger wasn't ever alone. Now, we might question the culturally insensitive name of his sidekick, but nonetheless, he had a buddy. I mean, he never went into anything alone. Lone Ranger Christianity doesn't work, and it's so funny because I'll talk to folks that I meet, whether, you know, playing golf or at Walmart or whatever, and they'll say, well, you know, I have a church. I do it on Sunday morning. I go out into nature, and I say, thank you, God. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. You know, you're getting there. But how often do you really do that? And I don't know about you, but there are moments of my life where I can feel like a Lone Ranger Christian. And in those moments, you know what usually happens? I begin to veer off path because nobody's there to say, Ebel, stop, you're making bad choices. Or, Brian, you seem low. Let me encourage you. Or Brian, have you ever thought about this? Or Brian, I have these gifts. Let me sow them into your life. Can't do Lone Ranger Christianity. It doesn't work. The me and Jesus thing doesn't work. We need one another. You can be the most faithful prayer warrior, but without teachers to sow into you, you're not going to grow. And you can be one of the greatest of teachers in the world, but without the craftsmen, where would you be? You could be some of the greatest craftsmen in the world, make anything in the world, but without people who are beautifully gifted at playing instruments that lead us to worship God, where would we be? And you can be some of the greatest instrumentalists in the world, gifted. But what about those people who greet you on your way in to say good morning? Or the folks who made you coffee before you ever got here to make you feel more at home? We need one another. And we don't have to agree about everything. Quite frankly, I find that to be boring. But we need one another. And I want to encourage you for a moment. We're 6 months away from a major change in our culture. Any idea what that is? Yeah, an election. Here's the caveat. We're not going to treat one another the way some people treat one another on social media. We're not going to do that. I might not like your politics, you might not like mine, but you know what? Maybe there's a voice in both of them that we need to hear. If you want to debate, I'm all for it. I love debate. Frankly, I think we need to bring it back. I mean, when I defended my PhD, this guy from Oxford, which is a little intimidating, right? I mean, he's beaten me. I won't even tell you how bad it was. All throughout the time together. And then at the end, he stands up, and in a very British way, he says, "Loved your work." I was like, what, where was that? You know, because Americans, that's how we lead, loved your work. And then we kind of do this whole passive-aggressive, well, you know, no, they beat you for 2 hours, and then loved your work. It was like completely shifted the nature of the debate. It's great to debate. But we don't need to hurt one another because we need one another. I don't know many people in life who are both doctors or artists. I don't know many people in life who are both analysts and the most creative of thinkers. We need them both. And the beauty is this, because I don't know one single person here who has all the gifts, it helps us realize we're incomplete without the other person. And that keeps us humble. Keeps us humble. I'm experiencing more of this lately in my life. I watch what Daryl Pittman does on every Sunday basis. I'm thinking about the Celebrate Recovery ministry that he's getting ready to lead. I think about Travis Lee and the way that he leads our children and youth. And I love kids, but I can't do what he does. I think about Matt Bauer and the great addition he's made, and his ability to communicate and process in ways that I could never communicate and process. You know, I watch the Our Village team put on a princess party. I watch the Release team deepening our relationship with Family Scholar House. I watch renovation group leaders pastoring their people. I see it in so many different ways, and the beauty of it is I need them. Not just to run this church, but for the value, the benefit, the grace they bring into my life. What about the person on your left or right? How are they sowing into you? I'd be lost in life without Mandy. I will completely own that. I'd be double lost without Jesus, but I'd be lost without Mandy. I can't be me without her. Have you told your wife that lately? Have you told your husband that lately? Have you told a good friend that? Have you come around those who are hurting and loved them the way that Jesus would love them? Because that's what they need in that moment? Have you offered a listening ear? Because in that moment, that's what that person needs. Have you lent them an encouraging word? Because in that moment, that's what that person needs. Brothers and sisters, that's what the body of Christ is all about. To realize that the person on your left or your right, they are your brother or your sister. They don't look like you. They don't think like you. Thank God. The world doesn't need rolling eyeballs or chins. It needs all of it. If you want to be first place in life, brothers or sisters, don't just belong to God. Belong to God first, but belong to one another. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. You're so good to us. You're so good for us. You give us grace beyond what we deserve or could ever imagine. And Lord, help us see this morning. Help us be aware. Help us hear the voice of your Spirit. To love on a brother or a sister. To bring encouragement. To bring grace. To use our gifts in whatever way that would bless you, God. In whatever way that would bring about transformation in the brother or sister's life who you've called us to serve. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until you return and we celebrate with you, the one Lord, at one table, professing one faith. We pray this in and through the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I love this. Somebody texted in, I respectfully disagree with your assessment of culture calling us to be ruggedly individualistic. It seems more obvious that culture calls us to conform. Don't step out and have your own opinion, thoughts, or ideas. It's common to see someone vilified in the media because they actually had the audacity to step outside the lines of normal and think for themselves instead of just falling in line and doing what they're told. I think this is the perfect time for people to be individualistic and think critically for themselves regardless of the topic we're discussing. I consider Revolution as a community to be more individualistic in its behavior and how it relates to the world. More of that is needed. I'm glad that people disagree. That's a good thing. I would agree in part with what you're saying. I would just say maybe it's not individualism. Maybe it's thinking critically as a community and as a community rising up with one voice and saying enough. And that's good, right? There are some people groups and some media attempts to push movements in certain directions that maybe our voice could be a bit stronger and maybe a bit more audacious and say, you're not going to vilify people anymore and we're not going to allow you to get away with that and that's ridiculous. And really the way that you can change culture is by changing what you buy. Because here's the deal, if you decide not to support certain companies who have certain advertisements on certain media stations, well, maybe it'll put those media stations out of business. And maybe that would be a good thing. So, you know, my encouragement is, I really love that you disagreed, whoever this was. Go. You know, don't just take my word for it. Go with it. And maybe the encouragement really is this, if you feel strongly about certain messages that are being shared out there, then let's talk about it and let's figure out as a church, how can we address these things? I'm all for it. So I think the beauty of it is the word community. Let's not just do it individually. Let's do it with one voice and as one body. So love it. All right. Hey, I hope you have a great week. This week, God's going to use you in some way, and he's given you the gifts to do it. So here's the encouragement. When that moment comes, do it. With arms high and heart abandoned, in awe of the one who gave it all. There you go. That's going to cue up when that moment comes. Have a great week. Be the revolution.